A reading from the Gospel of Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw a man using your name to expel demons, and we tried to stop him, because he is not of our company." And Jesus said in reply, "Do not try to stop him. No one who performs a miracle using my name can at the same time speak ill of me. Anyone who is not against us is with us." The Gospel of Mark. To put today's gospel in a context that might shed a bit more light on its meaning, I want to draw your attention to a situation that Mark recounts in the beginning verses of chapter 9. Jesus, Peter, James, and John have just descended from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they encounter the disciples with a large crowd standing around with the scribes in lively discussion. A man has brought his son, who is possessed by a mute spirit, to the disciples so that they might expel the demon and heal him. However, the disciples are unable to heal the boy. So the father turns to Jesus for help, and the boy is healed. In today's gospel, we have the poignant episode of the disciple John saying to Jesus, "We saw a man using your name to expel demons, and we tried to stop him because he is not of our company." To Jesus' dismay, the disciples are acting much like the scribes and Pharisees who reject Jesus along with his teachings and healings in the name of God, because he is not one of them, the officially sanctioned representatives of God to the people. The disciples, the scribes, and the Pharisees are protecting their own turf, if you will. Is it possible that the disciples who are not able to expel the demon from the son of the father who brought their son to him are a little bit jealous of the man who expels demons in Jesus' name but is an outsider to their own group? Their egos have sent a signal that something they perceive as belonging to them personally and which defines them and who they are is being usurped by an outsider. Envy and jealousy blind them to the good that has been done by God. The disciples' reaction to another healing in Jesus' name flows from their need to protect their own honor and status, to hold on to their special relationship with Jesus, their exclusive relationship with Jesus. They are small-minded in that they still think everything is about them. They miss the wondrous work and goodness of God because they are focused on themselves. Surely we can relate to their experience. Our egos are masters at making us believe that who we are depends on our being special, more important, or more significant than someone else. We have to stand out somehow. A friend of mine is fond of saying that a great deal of good can be accomplished if it doesn't matter who gets the credit. And which one of us has not been in a situation where good has failed to be done because we're arguing about who gets the credit? Or the good that is done is overshadowed or diminished because we need to define who gets the credit. Doing without getting credit is a great challenge for us in a culture that worships fierce competition. In this kind of a culture, the other becomes a threat, because their good might outshine my good, and they may be perceived as better than myself. However, this whole attitude, this whole way of being, is the very opposite of what Jesus is speaking about and what is revealed and comes to the surface in the kingdom of God. God's work has nothing to do with self-preservation and ego building. In fact, the more we detach from our own ego, the more fruitful our acts become. When we are able to embrace and celebrate the truth that God will do God's work through and in whomever God chooses, we become God-minded, and we come to experience a joy and a peace that permeates our entire being. So as we walk into our new day today, how can we be attentive to this new way of thinking or being? How do I know if I am small-minded or God-minded? I invite you to do or to make the following observation. The next time something good happens, that you hear about something good that has happened, what is your immediate or automatic feeling? Do you feel gratitude? Or is there a tinge of jealousy or envy? Does your sense of gratitude hinge upon who the doer of the good is? In other words, does your gratitude for God's working goodness in this world through another depend on who gets credit? Gratitude or jealousy? Which of those emotions, senses, feelings arises in you when you hear about goodness? Are we small-minded or God-minded? For the disciple, life is this journey from small-mindedness to God-mindedness, in which we celebrate the extravagant goodness and abundance of God wherever, whenever, and through whomever it bears fruit.